Welcome back to the TV Talk Machine. I am your co-host, Jason Snell. And across the internet from me is Tim Goodman from The Hollywood Reporter. He knows everything there is to know about television, good and bad. Hi, Tim.
Woohoo!
All right. Let's go Giants.
Yes.
Yes. High five over the Skype.
Over the Skype. High five. Not Woo. To annoy our friends
Sorry.
In the cities.
Sorry, St. Louis.
But we're in it again.
Yeah. Yeah. We are like the Yankees now. I feel kind of embarrassed, but, you know, in a good way.
No, we struggle. We struggle, this team. The Yankees will just pop their way in.
So this is episode 5. We're recording October 17th, 2014. Here's what this podcast is. We talk about television because Tim is the chief TV critic at The Hollywood Reporter. And
yep.
We chief. Got chief. Mm-hmm. You can always give us feedback. We usually say this at the end. I'll mention at the beginning. Best way is on Twitter. Just send your tweets to at TVTM. Very simple. And we will be paying attention to that tweet sent there. Or you can also reach us at Bastard Machine. That's Tim. Or Jay Snell. That's me. But this episode, I think we're gonna be all like sunshine and flowers and happiness and unicorns and rainbows, right, Tim?
Unicorns and rainbows. This is how we keep it. This is, you know, positivity is a force that critics are sometimes accused of not having, Jason. But
yeah,
I
you think?
Have it. And I bathe in it.
Mm, that's true. Mm. That's what that guy from that show said that you savaged.
Oh, there's only one?
He was trying to drown you in it. Yeah, I was just being vague. It could really be any of the shows you've savaged. But
yes, it was he or she trying to drown me in my negativity.
In your negativity.
You can't kill me.
Nope.
I'm unkillable.
It only makes you stronger.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My positivity keeps me afloat.
That's good. That's good. It's buoyant positivity.
It is buoyant.
So what... Do you want to we were talking before we started, maybe just focusing on sort of like what's out there that's good. I mean, that you are paid to watch everything with a few exceptions where you just say, no, I'm not going to even try.
Unacceptable.
But that gives you a unique perspective, I think, from the average TV viewer who can't sample like that. And you get to see this stuff and kind of assemble, you know, sort of through the ranks of like what stuff's worth watching, worth people's time, and what stuff is totally not. And I think that's a really interesting perspective to give those poor people who don't have time to watch as much TV as you do.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that time, you're hitting on that, is like the main thing. Because – and I, in my last couple of reviews of super negative series and terrible series, I had forced to be negative. I don't want to go there. But if you drag me in –
I before every episode, I go to The Hollywood Reporter, THR.com, mm-hmm. little plug there. I click on Bastard Machine under the TV thing, and I look at what you've been writing lately. And I went there today, and the top item was the Marry Me review, which is like, oh, why do you have to lash out? But right below it is Jane the Virgin, which is very positive. So, you know, It's you got your positivity going. It's fine.
I think that combination of shows right there is a perfect example of make better television.
Yeah.
Don't make me be angry at you. Don't make me lash out and hurt you. Just make better TV shows and then we can all be positive.
That's right. You want it all to be good, right?
There's nothing I want more in the world, Jason, than a hug.
Yeah.
I just want to hug people.
Yeah.
And so lovable.
And one way to hug people is through good television.
Absolutely.
It's like a video hug.
Yeah, but you look, the last couple, even, I mean, I don't think I mentioned Jane the Virgin, but the last couple of really bad shows, what I have said is like, look, I try to stay out of, even though THR is an industry magazine, the leading industry magazine, and of course, you know, we're all over everything. I try to stay out of the insider stuff because I don't care that, you know, you've made a pilot and, oh, it's kind of... You have to make a junkie pilot because that's how you get noticed. And then, man, 5 or 6 episodes later, we're going to get good. Like, I don't care about that. Like, I care about it from the viewer's perspective, which is I don't have a whole lot of time here, buddy. You know, I got the kids. I got a life. I got something else.
Prove to me that you're worth watching.
Right. And time is the ultimate commodity right now for home viewers.
Yeah.
And I think that that's lost in Hollywood. And it's lost at a terrible time because – we have too many other options now. We have no more patience. There are no – I mean, some people will get a second chance, but you will not get a third chance. So we've been over this before. But time is the ultimate commodity, and we're surrounded by other good choices so that, you know, people are just not going to hang out. So that's my thing. So in this week, I decided, like, okay, we've talked about some shows. It has not been a good fall.
Yep.
Let's pick out, you know, 6 days a week because no one watches TV on Saturdays. 6 days a week, what's worth watching right now on the channels?
Right, because Saturday we can just stipulate, probably if you're at home, watch a college football game. They're good college football games on Saturday nights now.
You could do that.
Just do that.
You could stream.
Yeah.
Your Saturday streaming.
Go back in the catalog. Netflix Saturdays. Sure.
You might hug a child.
Take your pick. It's a you pick day.
You pick. You may take a walk. There's a lot of things you can do.
That's right. Paint. Do a painting. Sketch.
Commune with nature.
Write a short story.
Yeah. Why not?
All of those things are possible on Saturday. But not the rest of the week.
Yeah. The rest of the week, you better be having your ass in the seat. I got to feed. You know, I got to feed. I need that paycheck coming in.
Also, we've been talking about new shows a lot, and this is an opportunity to talk about what's good that's on just in general that you should check out.
Exactly. Right? The savvy listener, which I'm sure that's all we have, savvy listener will hear that I have keenly edited out new stuff that I was kind of like, oh, we'll see how it works. And if it's not mentioned, I'm off of the bandwagon.
So the careful listener will be able to compare this with previous podcasts and go, oh, I think it's interesting that he didn't mention it. But we're not gonna go into that because this is all positive here.
Right. It could be something like, oh, he was kind of lukewarm in that show, and now there's no warmth. There's no warmth in this all-warmth podcast, so he must not like it anymore.
Yeah, but you're going to have to make that negative connection. We're not going to do it.
We're not going there.
Mm-mm.
Absolutely not.
No, this is all on the thumbs-up side. So should we start with Sunday?
Sure, let's start with Sunday, because oftentimes that is the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
And that is a really good...
Every now and then the week starts on a Wednesday, but very rarely.
But very rarely. I do like Sundays as the...
It's like the prestige TV night too, right?
Yeah, it is really the night. And and it's a good night. Let's just talk about what's on. What are your picks for Sunday night that work? Now, I'm going to go with The Walking Dead as my favorite. So that's, you know... And by the way, with Live+3 and Live+7 and all these other things, they're up the last episode, the first episode, actually, of the fifth season, 22 million
Amazing.
Viewers. That is...
That would be one of the top-rated network shows.
Yeah, it is. I think it is actually the top-rated network
show. Wow, amazing.
It's astonishing, yeah. So I would go with that.
Yep.
And despite literally, I think in the TV world, no one turning out to watch The Affair, it had 500,000... viewers. I mean, that's like, you know, you might as well be on local access cable. And I'm going to stick with it because I want to see where that goes. And that's on Showtime.
All right.
So that's another Sunday show that I'm going to stick with in the time, you know, it made the cut. Obviously, lots of people are watching and talking about The Good Wife. So.
Yeah, we had a listener who asked that we talk about that a little bit, you know, and I have to admit, I have never seen it, but a lot of people I respect say that it's a really good show. My wife watched it for a while. I've never seen it, but people
Well,
like
I
it.
Mean, I have issues with it, but staying on the positive tip, I will say that it's a very good show.
Yeah, well, it's CBS, right? So it's a very well-made, and my understanding is well-made, well-acted, I just haven't seen it.
I don't think it's a great series, but I think it's a very, very good show. And I'll leave that at that.
Fair
and it's been, and people are loving it. They're loving it this year. So
yeah.
Good for them. Way to get excited.
See, that's positive. I'm glad other people like it.
Isn't it? It's so positive.
I know. Amazing.
The other one, another obvious thing for me is Sunday Night Football, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. We're in that fall area. You've got, and I'm a huge football fan, so I'm going to watch. That's usually a pretty good selection on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, and that's a good. We should do a sports show sometime about sports TV because they do a.
Yes.
There are things that annoy me about Sunday Night Football, but you know the fact is Al Michaels still getting it done.
Still getting it done.
Does a good job, and that's a really. I mean, that's they spend all their money on that one show, so it's like almost Super Bowl level of like all
it's
the
prestige.
Cameras and all the replays they've got, and it's just they do a really good job with it.
It's very prestige.
Yeah.
And then to round out the Sunday viewing, I think you kind of I mean a couple of them are standbys, but the newcomers that I kind of like, this relative newcomers. I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
That is my favorite comedy. Now.
It's so great.
It
right?
is the best. If you're listening to this and you haven't tried Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you know, don't let Andy Samberg get in your way because I never liked him on Saturday Night Live. He's really good, and the show is amazingly funny.
It's so funny. And if you can track down anything from the first season,
oh man,
they were all funny.
They were legitimately all funny. This is the writers who were behind Parks and Recreation, mm-hmm. and they're very funny. And then setting it in this Barney Miller like cop workplace comedy thing, and then the cast is really good. The cast, you know, casting people don't talk about that enough. It's like that's a really amazing cast. Terry Crews is one of the funniest people alive. Andre mm-hmm. Brower is. Yep, absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
get him in the box. Pembleton from Homicide: Life on the Street. Yeah. I mean, Andre Brower. I love the fact that Andre Brower is basically one of the closest things that we have in America to a Shakespearean actor.
Yeah.
And that he's playing the completely non-stereotypical TV version of a gay man.
Yep.
And then also just completely dead serious.
Yep.
And then Andy Samberg's wackiness kind of bounces off him like a bug in a window.
So great. Yeah.
So people need to watch that show. It's fantastic. I'm also a huge fan in the animation universe of Bob's Burgers.
All right. I'm with you there, too.
Bob's Burgers. Bob's, yeah, you got to have that.
Bob's Burgers, you know, and forgive me if I said this before in this podcast, but I know I've said it elsewhere. When they started promoting it, it was like sort of in conjunction with the Family Guy, the whole animation mm-hmm. domination thing. And I was like, oh, great, another one of these. And it's not like Family Guy at all and is really amazingly funny and great.
Yeah, it is.
And smart.
Although I will say that, and those are those first two are like my favorite Fox Sunday shows. But I will say that, I don't think you can do a Sunday roundup without throwing Simpsons and Family Guy in there. I mean, I'll watch it. I mean, what's to lose?
They are also available.
Yeah, they are also available. What's to lose? Mm. That's it. That's
only time. Only time, Tim. The most valuable commodity.
Yeah, I did kind of just steamroll right over my original theory. What's to lose, Tim? Oh, I don't know.
Only time. I leave that as an answer for the viewers to for the listeners to work out. Yeah, Sunday. That's an embarrassment. I could throw in Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. I'm really liking.
Oh, you know what?
That's the capper.
That's the one. Yeah,
little nightcap.
It's a great nightcap. You know what? And look, it's probably one of the most buzzed about like new shows. My original complaint about the show, which is not a real complaint, I stick by it. That show really needs to be an hour.
Yeah.
It doesn't – I love the fact that it's manic, but it really is so great and so limiting in its time. It really needs to still go to an hour.
Well, you know, Stewart does 2 hours a week basically. Mm-hmm. And I think they just decided to do this as one quarter of that. And presumably they've got like one quarter of the staff and they do it. But I agree with you. I think that it would work better with even if it was 45 minutes, just a little bit more
room to
spread. Even if it was
45 minutes. Yeah.
Well, uh-huh. Because he doesn't do interviews. And I actually think that, I mean, occasionally he does. But I feel like you could do that pretty easily. And it would be good to give him some time to stretch out a little bit, maybe in the middle of the show or at the end, whatever. But it does – it feels – I'm with you. I love that show, but I feel like they're not getting enough out of it.
It needs to breathe a little bit. So wherever you put that, if you put that in the middle or the end, I don't really care. But it needs to breathe a little bit. And I think that if you can exhale, if you let him exhale, that what you just went through, what you just witnessed in the manic first half hour, it has a bigger impact eventually.
I do really like that they have – you know, it was my worry in the first episode was that it was a little too samey. I was like, oh, this is kind of like The Daily Show. And I really like John Oliver and I wanted him to do well. But over time, they seem to have gotten, especially on his sort of like longer things where he's talking for 5 minutes about a single subject. And those get posted on YouTube and everybody passes them around the next day, which is really smart on HBO's part to do that. He's really good at that. And they've been very good at picking topics that are even sort of obscure and making them really funny, but also really pointed. And I think that's like they found a thing that can be like their trademark there that they're doing in a different way from Jon Stewart. So that's good.
Yeah, I think, and you're right. I mean, some of those topics that he does are tricky and obscure, and a really good job at that.
Yeah. All right, all right, Sunday.
Monday. That's Sunday. We're done. That's all right. It. But I'm glad you included that because that's a great show.
Monday.
You know,
it's Garfield's favorite day.
Wow. I am, you know, in the spirit of positivity, I'm going to let that go.
All right, thanks.
All right.
I love Mondays. What are you talking about? They're great.
You know, this is a big night for me for, except for one show, this is a big night for me for broadcast television. So I love The Blacklist.
Right.
That's a Monday show. I have that on there. I also love Sleepy Hollow and its total nuttiness.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah, Jane the Virgin debuted last week. I was a huge fan of that. You know, I love that show. I'm going to stick with it. And I do like the dark, now growing on me, complexity of Gotham, another network show. And my last pick, shifting over into the into cable, is just Monday Night Football, because I'm a football guy. Yeah.
Again, football. It's right there if you need it.
You know, if you need a little break, go over there and watch people. You know,
so it's funny. We were watching last week, and because the 49ers were on.
Yeah.
And I was thinking it, and then my wife said it out loud. And we've been married 20 years, so we do this sometimes. But I thought it was interesting coming from her, because she's not as big a football fan as I am, although she likes sports and football. And she said what I was thinking, which is, wow, Mike Tirico is really good. John Gruden is a clown, but Mike Tirico is really good and actually makes John Gruden funnier by dryly commenting on stupid things John Gruden says. It's kind of brilliant.
It's kind of a little shtick. People have noticed that. I mean, you're like, okay, wow, that Tirico, that's kind of I think Tirico really kind of gets a kick out of Gruden.
He's so dry. It's like Gruden is uncontrolled and just says crazy things and says the same thing like 10 times in a minute. He just says it. And then Tirico just makes the statement. It's just like a barb, but it's super dry, and he moves on. And you're like, wait, what just happened? And it's like Tirico came in, took the shot, and then moved on and said, and the handoff to this guy. Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, that would be like, well, that didn't make any sense, John, but oh, here's a pass over the middle. And then it's very cutting. Very cutting and dry.
Beautiful. All right, let's take a small break, because the TV Talk Machine, I know this is shocking, Tim, we have a sponsor.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. It is our very first sponsor, and only in episode 5. Pretty good. It is Loot Crate. Let me explain about Loot Crate. This is all about, because it's October, spooky, creepy, and scary parts of your favorite geeky and gaming franchises. So Loot Crate is a subscription service where they send you stuff. They guarantee $40 or more of value in every crate, and every month there's a different theme. So spooky, creepy, and scary is this month's theme. It's not just zombies, which we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago, right?
Zombies.
But a variety of creatures that bring you fear. So subscription box service, less than $20 a month. You get 6 or 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique, one-of-a-kind items, and a lot more. It's like a friend who knows what you love and surprises you, delights you with an awesome present every month.
In the mail.
It comes, right? People don't use the mail like they used to.
That's fantastic.
So the Loot Crate, for less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items. Guaranteed that it's more than $40 per crate in value. So it's a great deal as well. And it's a surprise. So you have until the 19th, that's very soon, at 9 p.m. Pacific, to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when that cutoff happens, it's over. So do it now or get in line for November. Here's what you need to do. Lootcrate.com/talkmachine. Lootcrate.com/talkmachine. And enter code MACHINE to save 10% on any new subscription. 10% off. It's already a great deal. You get 10% off. Even more. Previous crates have included items from things like Star Wars, Marvel, The Walking Dead, Legends of Zelda, and many more. So check it out. Lootcrate.com/talkmachine. Enter code MACHINE to save 10%. And thanks so much to Loot Crate for sponsoring TV Talk Machine.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's move on.
Tuesday. Not... To me, it's slowing down, because Sunday and Monday are kind of packed with shows. Tuesday slows down for me a little bit. I do watch Person of Interest.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. That's the it's like, don't tell anybody it's sci-fi, but it kind of is.
Yes. You know, I love that show. I have fallen behind on a number of episodes, and I think, okay, this is in the spirit, again, of positivity. I'm going to be really, you know, I'm going to just say, I may... For myself, for Christmas, get myself the Person of Interest box set.
Huh.
Yeah, catch myself up. Little present to the TV critic.
I like Michael Emerson so much.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's great that he got on another show after Lost that he's been able to shine on. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He was the discovery of Lost, right? He just was cast in the middle, and they're like, yeah, okay. And then they said, oh my god, okay, you're a regular.
we can't kill this guy.
No,
he's driving the ratings.
He's amazing. So yeah, that's a really interesting show.
Yeah, so I watched that, And now, oh my goodness, huge numbers for the CW for The Flash.
The Flash. I'm really liking The Flash, Tim.
Yeah.
I'm really liking it.
Mm-hmm.
Two episodes in. Really, yeah. I feel like they're making all the right choices. We talked about how having the couple middle-aged actors on kind of gives it a little bit of an interesting dynamic. It's not all 20-year-olds.
Right, a little heft.
Yeah, and then, yeah, I think they've done – I think they made him vulnerable, the Flash, vulnerable enough. Like, we don't know. Like, in the second episode, he keeps passing out because he needs to eat more because he's running 2,000 miles an hour. That's great stuff. So yeah, I'm liking it more. I'm trying to stay positive here, but I'm liking it more than Gotham because I think that kind of tone works for me a little bit better than the kind of operatic, dark, weird tone of Gotham. But I'm really liking The Flash.
Yeah, that's a good call. And then I am not like in the frontline endorser of these shows, but they're there and periodically they're very good. Other times they're like, oh, you guys are really playing to your own crowd, but you have Fox's comedies, New Girl and The Mindy Project.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
My wife watches both of those. It's one of those shows that are just good enough to watch while you're like eating lunch or folding laundry, but maybe not. But yeah, they have an audience and seem to be fine. Every time I've seen them, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a fine show. But
that was an enjoyable 22 minutes, kind of.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Sure.
That's kind of how I feel like right. It could be worse.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, what I will do is because I do follow so many TV critics, I will go back and say, oh yeah, everybody kind of was talking about this episode. Let's take a look at it.
All right. See, that's very nice. I think Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is still decent, although nothing to get super excited about. But I'm still watching it.
Yes, I will say this. I'm still recording it.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. It's like watching. Recording is like watching.
It's like
your DVR is watching it for you.
Yep, I'm holding your hand. I'm not really kissing you right now, but I'm holding your hand.
That's right.
Something could happen a little bit later.
It's in the house.
It's in the house. That's all you need is to have the
it's
option
available.
To go there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when it's not on that list, boy, when I cut it off of my DVR, forget about it.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, I think it started off kind of strong this season, and now it's kind of.
I'm an episode behind now on it, so that may be.
It's kind of going back to
all right.
It.
Let's stay positive.
Let's stay positive, yes. Ooh, little dip there.
You know what's nice?
What?
Wednesday.
Wednesdays are
because
good.
Because it's hump day.
Yeah, it's hump
day. I don't
day.
Know if you knew that.
I've never heard that.
Okay.
But you know what? I also think there's not a lot of great picks on Wednesday, but I go to my go-to shows are all on – well, not all of them. All but one. Are on ABC. I just watched that family. I watched that comedy block. I start at the middle, then The Goldbergs, which I love, then Modern Family, which I think is a funny show, but clearly, you know, I have issues with it winning all the Emmys and all that stuff.
Sure.
And then I'm still on board with Blackish. I think that there's really good potential there. Mm-hmm. So I literally follow that beginning to end on ABC. And then Arrow.
Arrow on the CW.
Yeah, that's probably your strongest show on that night, right?
Huh? Yeah, maybe so. I'm way behind on Arrow. I'm in the first season on Netflix of it. But I know, again, my pals who watch that think it's really great.
Yeah. So it really is probably the show of the night on Wednesday.
Look at that. The CW's got the show of the night. What is happening at the CW that they have good shows on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday?
Boy, that is right. Here you go. Jane the Virgin, The Flash, and Arrow. Boom, boom, boom. Cool. Positivity. Me and the CW.
You and the
like
CW.
BFFs. Right.
If you like the CW so much, why don't you marry it, Tim? That's gonna be your next thing. It's gonna be CW apologist, Tim Goodman.
I would marry Gina Rodriguez like right now.
All right.
I really would.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Is she the one who tweeted with you? Who replied to your tweets?
Oh yeah, we talk a lot.
Yeah, look at that.
Mm-hmm. I've crushed out on her.
Thursday. Like remember must see TV? That was Thursday.
Yes.
Is there anything left to see on Thursdays?
I have to tell you. Thursday is really disappointing.
There's Thursday night football for another week.
Yes, that's on my list. Did you just like sort of guess that? Like
I did.
I
sensed a trend
Monday.
With you, which is if football is on, perhaps we'll just watch football.
I will go back and I'll watch that. This is a column in waiting for me. Mm-hmm. I picked exactly two shows on Thursday. Is that crazy or what?
Yeah, what happened?
In the current setup. Of television. I mean, when mid-season comes, there will be some changes to the schedule. But in a current configuration, the only two things that I would endorse on Thursdays right now are Elementary on CBS and Thursday Night Football.
You didn't mention on Monday, Big Bang Theory is, I believe, moving back to Thursday after football is over. And I still watch Big Bang Theory, and I still think it's funny. It's not my favorite comedy. That's Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But I still watch it. I enjoy it. I think it's a nice mixture of a competently produced Chuck Lorre CBS sitcom and has that extra kind of nerd thing that makes it more appealing to me.
Right.
So I throw that in there. But yeah, remember, there used to be like eight good things on Thursday night.
I know, right? There used to be maybe more. It was like Thursday was the Sunday unwatchable. And Thursday still, I would say this, people are dropping the ball because there's money to be made because Thursdays is and has been one of the most profitable nights for advertising because generally movies open Friday. So you get all the movie ads on Thursday night and it's last second and everybody wants it big. They want them up front. They want them in the perfect position. They want it in the first 5 minutes of the show. They want it in the middle break. And so it's expensive, but if you don't have a good show, you're not going to get the ad rates.
Yep.
Just a little bit of education there, a little positivity, a little spin on capitalism, which I'm a big fan of.
Maybe this is all cyclical. Maybe, maybe it'll come back. Although it's hard not to see CBS's move with the Thursday Night Football thing as being like, we have an idea of how to get good ratings on Thursday nights.
Yeah,
just stick football in there.
It's funny. They've got a bunch of crappy games to start the season with, but it's still getting ratings. It's still doing well. And they only have it for half the season. So it'll switch back to the NFL network in the middle of the season. But still, I mean, it was a good purchase for them. But that's one of two shows that I will watch. And the other one is also on CBS. Go figure.
Crazy.
And Friday. Well, you know, if you go way back to our parents' generation, Friday was really the Sunday of the world.
Right.
Friday was kind of the Sunday, and then Saturday was the
Saturday first day. Saturday was a huge night when I was a kid. Yeah. You remember like Love Boat and Fantasy Island and stuff like that?
And now no one programs. It's just literally the graveyard. And Friday is – if Saturday is the graveyard, Friday is kind of like you're a block from the graveyard. And you're trying to you're trying to walk away from it. That's, I think, what's happening. So I go with Grimm, one of the
Grimm.
I love Grimm. You know, I just think it's one of those shows. You tell people that about Grimm, they're like, never heard of it.
No, David Greenwald, who did Angel with Joss Whedon, and then he's doing Grimm. So he's bringing that. It's not technically a Whedon show, but I would say actually, even though I watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Grimm is much more of the direct descendant of Buffy and Angel. Grimm and like Supernatural are much more in that vein than something like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Grimm is surprising. I didn't think it would make it, but it's found that Friday night audience like The X-Files did back in the day.
Yeah, it's literally the only show. I have another show on my list. But this one has a little bit of an asterisk because it has not premiered yet. We talked a little bit about it last week, and that's Constantine.
Constantine.
So, but because I've only seen the pilot, I can't really endorse that this will stay on the Friday list. But if it does, you know, that might make a good little pair of Grimm and Constantine.
Well, the NBC is hoping that, right?
They are hoping that. And it was so funny. We talked about Constantine last week, right, on the podcast. And then as soon as we finished, I opened my mail and I got sent like a Constantine action figure.
Wow. Now you can perch him like on the top of your iMac and have him looking down at you.
I could. But I still look at him and I'm thinking, what? You're a supernatural detective? What do you do?
Yeah. Yeah. He's not exactly quite a superhero, even though he's from the comics, from DC Comics. He's a dude in a trench coat.
But, you know, it's funny because also you and I talk. People will go back. I think that there's clearly our library of very listenable podcasts. They could go back last week and listen again. We did talk about you kind of grew up in the comic era, and I did not. Like, I don't read comics.
Right.
I really am lame on – I had my daughter telling me about the DC and Marvel universes and the differences. My daughter was telling me that. And the other day, my son said, he's 11. He said, hey, Dad, who's your favorite superhero? And, you know, I'm distractedly on the computer. I'm like, well, it's a favorite superhero. I was thinking, he's like, it's not that hard. I'm like, yeah, not good. Let me think about it. And I said, you know, maybe Batman. And there was silence. And I could all hear him playing his video game. And then I heard like more guns going off in the video game. And then I heard him go, wow.
I
I think that's when he said, I guess my dad's really not like a superhero guy, because I guess that was a terrible pick.
It is an obvious choice. It's not a bad choice. People love Batman. I would argue Batman and Spider-Man are, at this point, the two top most beloved superheroes, more than Superman now.
Yeah, I mean, because Superman has too many powers. Yeah, that's an overkill. Yeah,
he's boring. But people love Superman. Let's stay positive. People do love Superman. He's great. Yay, Superman.
I slipped.
I said he was number three. I didn't say he was bad. I said he was number three.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry for going down that negativity.
I thought you were going to say Constantine was your favorite superhero. That would blow
but
him
I'm
away.
But I'm going to look now. I think that is kind of like in the moment, if we're being like in the moment, that's the essence of positivity. Me saying, hey, look, Constantine hasn't, it's going to be what, the 24th, I think. Let's give it a chance, and I'm going to watch a couple of episodes and see if that works.
All right.
And then, Jason, there is no Saturday choice.
Nope.
You know what that means?
What?
That's it.
That's it. Yeah, that's what I thought it meant. I thought you were going to spin, but there's another day. That's it. We're back to Saturday, where you should watch college football or take a hike or paint an oil painting or whatever you want to do.
Exactly. And you know what I didn't do?
Or check the DVR.
Streaming. You're right. I didn't. Yeah. Read.
Right. Look. Well, we should. Yeah. That is the next day of the week, right? Which is what's available on streaming anytime. And obviously, you'd say Transparent is in that list from Amazon.
Absolutely. And for anybody who hasn't got through it, you get to Transparent on Amazon right now for sure. That was, we talked about this is the fall's best show. So,
yeah.
And that's I left that off, but it's not a day of the week. You can watch streaming anytime.
Anytime. Beautiful.
Yeah, and there's things out. That's your day to catch up on things. Just streaming, other than getting out of the house. And
Saturday is streaming day.
Saturday's streaming day. That's what I want to,
It's beautiful.
Streaming
actually,
Saturdays.
Actually, there is a show that I watch every week on Saturday, which is Doctor Who on BBC America.
Oh,
I do watch that. I'm one of those people.
Well, and Saturday does it's funny that you mentioned that. Well, let's just touch on Saturday just briefly here, because I talked with the BBC people about my biggest concern, Doctor Who, my kids love it. They're late to it. As you well know, I don't watch it because I don't feel like I've collected everybody's emails and everybody's advice about where I should start in the modern world of Doctor Who, but I haven't. And like I said, I never write about it because if you make a mistake, I told you, there's millions. Sure. If you make a mistake in the Doctor Who.
I'm right here, Tim. I can vet your Doctor Who stories.
Yeah, that's true.
And for appropriate Whovianness, I can do that for
you're
you.
Good. I used to have a neighbor, Bill, that I would run it by.
A little Doctor Who fact checker. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he would just he had that kind of tone in his voice that my son did.
Oh yeah.
Boy, really? Really? Wow, that's a real basic one. And he's it was that look like I don't think you should actually write about this.
That's right.
Danger zone.
Maybe just forget about it.
Maybe just forget.
Is there someone else?
Let this one go.
at your place of business that can write this story instead of you. So what's your concern for BBC America? Just that it's on Saturday night and it's
I asked them. I said, okay, why are you doing the Saturday strategy?
Supernatural Saturday.
Exactly.
That's what all the promos
they have Dramaville on other days. This is their, what's it, Dramaville Friday night? I can't remember what they did. But
this is where they put Saturdays. This is where they put Orphan Black when it's on too.
Yes,
it's on
which
Saturday.
Is one of my favorite shows.
Which is a great show. Fantastic show.
And literally we said, okay, you've got the breakout show there with Orphan Black. You have the historically relevant Doctor Who. And you have I'm spacing on the zombie one that we forgot to talk about during our zombie program.
Oh yeah. I don't remember. They keep cycling
Almost
through.
Human. No.
Almost Human. Being Human.
Being Human.
Wasn't that like a werewolf and a ghost
Yeah. See? It's all this that's messed me up.
But they have a block there where basically all year long there are a couple original series on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, some of them aren't good, but they're on there. And so I said, okay, why are you doing this? This is clearly the graveyard of television. Are you using it because...
Oh, they're doing the John Sim, Mira Sorvino show right now, right?
Oh, right, Intruders, I did watch. Uh-huh. And I think I was... I like Intruders. A lot of people thought that it was too Lostian and that it didn't really have a point and it moved kind of slowly. I liked it. It's over now, I believe.
And they had their Ripper Street, which is their 19th century New York thing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they always have a couple yeah, a couple shows on.
And Ripper Street I like. Yeah, uh-huh. That was good. And they'll keep trying different shows in that area. But their response was, you know, they just said, look, it's our counter-programming idea. Huh? And all our money's in it now. And that's seriously, you're looking at – it's a great story. I may go back and write this story. I've hinted at it and I've done tweets about it. But look, they said, this is our strategy. We've put money into the Saturday strategy. If we change now, it's like literally starting from scratch. But they avoided – Friday night is like not a big traffic night for them. I mean, they have other shows for Friday. But they don't want to be in the Sunday –
right.
Pile up. Well, I don't blame them.
There are the genre shows, like NBC has got the genre shows on Friday night, and there's always been sci-fi sort of shows on Friday night. So that's a bad night for them, too, because their audience is watching something else. So, I mean, you could argue there's nothing else on Saturday night. And so, you know, you don't get lost. It's a little bit like PBS not premiering things in the fall when everything new comes on. It's like, maybe you should just get out of there and go somewhere else.
I just think, I don't know.
It's just not on your radar at all. The idea is people have been trained not to even look for TV on Saturday.
Not at all. Yeah. So, I didn't even
think about it when we passed over Saturday night. We actually have appointment family TV every Saturday night for Doctor Who. My kids and my wife and I all sit down and we watch it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You forgot about it. And that's literally and I was like, why? Oh my boy, I tell you, I was just like, so you're probably literally relying on DVR watching.
Yeah, well, else it's just the pattern of the day. Like, we make dinner and we know the Doctor Who's going to be on, and then it's just sort of like we fall into it, but it's out of habit and it's unconscious. I'm not thinking that you know what's going to be on TV tonight on Saturday night, because the answer is nothing. College football.
Nothing.
That's it.
I think that they will revamp that strategy. Basically, they will revamp that strategy in the future.
The other thing
they will have to pick another night.
Other thing about Doctor Who is that show airs in Britain on Saturday nights. It's a Saturday night staple, and and BBC America learned a while ago that their best ratings have come when they air it the same day and don't delay it, because then everybody just pirates it.
And it
seems unlikely that it would ever move. And that may be one of the reasons they're putting it there, is because they get these. There are a lot of these kind of family light shows that run in Britain on Saturdays, and so you know they can pick those up and run them same day. I think they did that with. Did they do Robin Hood? I mean, somebody picked that up. Yeah. So I don't know. But you're right. They're fighting against the American trend to just view Saturday as a wasteland for TV.
Yeah, I think what they need to do is uncouple that night. I mean, I think you can keep
like Orphan Black.
Orphan Black should go somewhere else. Yeah. Like, whether it's, you know, if you just look at what we have right now, going back over it, the days that you would put that on is maybe Friday. Again, you're going up against some other stuff, but I only have Grimm and Constantine down right now. So maybe Friday. I wouldn't put it on a Monday or a Tuesday. It's just too busy. And maybe a Wednesday. I mean, that's the thing we talked about. Where do you put it now? And that's to me, it's kind of fascinating to talk about the gears grinding on television and how you make these decisions. And I thought it was funny because they don't have a lot of money at BBC America.
Right.
And for them to say, well, you know, we kind of built all our money on Saturdays. If we tear that down, we're kind of broke. Kind of broke to start on Sunday.
Fair enough.
Are we going to get traction? And I'm like, okay, you really are a small network. I get that. Or a small channel.
Yep.
But I think that they will move Orphan Black at some point, because that's the one that really deserves to go someplace else.
Look at all this positivity we've got.
Wow. I just like, you know.
It's amazing. So now in the spring, you finished your season of Power Rankings at THR. I appreciate when you do those, because you always credit me, because I figured out the HTML to make it. It's not pretty, but it works. It actually displays on the THR site. But so are those going to come back at some point now? This is where you rate like sort of the 10 best shows right now, like this week, based on like episode by episode. What's up? What's down?
Mm-hmm. The 11. Yes, I do. I do the Elite 11.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yes, I had to amend the HTML so you could fit in 11.
Yes, you did, right? Yeah. And then you had to tell me which how to put the right color there.
Yeah.
And I have a little breaking news information for you.
Yep. Breaking news.
I would have to go way, way back in my work email to look at this, because I did not read more than the first paragraph.
That's your policy for work emails.
That is pretty much my policy. But I have – this is breaking news for you, Jason. I have a memo from the online and the tech people at THR saying, okay, we have revamped how you can put this up.
Wow.
They tampered with it because they said it did something. They changed something and it had to be changed. And they were like, please do not post anything until you talk to us about how we're trying to work with you to revamp. And that's all I read. There's a glitch.
Good.
We need to fix it, and that's all I know.
That's good. I mean, they're working on it. I like that they're paying attention to it because so far the strategy has been that you and I conspire to go around them.
Yeah, this is a new breed of IT people. I think they've gone through two or three iterations since they were incapable almost 4 years ago of actually getting it on the site. So these are new people who are not responsible for that. Or for me saying, hey, you know, I just emailed a friend of mine and he made it in like a half an hour.
Yeah. Also, this is not advanced stuff. This is like literally HTML from the 90s that we're doing here.
It's even more shocking for that they couldn't get it up. But now I think we have new hires, iteration of hires, and we'll go back and I will share with you what they said and we can see if it works.
And that's all about the positivity too. The power rankings are all about the best.
Yes, they are the best. And you know, okay, I have, as you will know, I have a conflicted feeling about the power rankings, and that is, and so does some people, so does my highest boss, the person Janice Min, who runs everything at the Hollywood Reporter. I have a great story with her where, you know, her and I were going to an event / party event for With Stars, and we were going up to one of the producer's house and the THR event. We were going to, up there, and we were going to talk about the future of the channel and shows coming in. And I'm just, right now, of course, I'm spacing the show. What was the one? Was the combination of The Sopranos and what was the one set on the beach?
Oh, Boardwalk Empire.
No, that's HBO. Nope.
Oh, what? Sorry. I was doing my best. What? Sopranos on the beach?
No, it was a combination of
what network?
Stars.
They
canceled the series. Is the B? Okay, I'm so bad. Okay. Well, this is clearly where I've devolved. But anyway, the point was we were going there.
Magic City.
Magic City, thank you so much.
I literally Googled Stars, Sopranos, Beach, and it was the first hit.
I tell you, man, I was...
That's some internet right there. Thank you.
Magic City. Can we just take a second to think? I actually liked Magic City. I guess you didn't watch it, huh?
No, I didn't.
I did really like it.
Huh.
Oh, and okay, so clearly we had to go around that story for a little bit, but... It's worth it to get to the power rankings, which are, I pick the top 11 shows.
Right.
And it's Mitch Glazer who created the series. I really like Mitch. And I guess this is apropos of nothing. He owns one of the great modern houses. And I love modern architecture and design. And he owns one of the great modern houses in Los Angeles. And so it was at his house, it's Mitch Glazer's house. But as we're going up there, this is the point, Janice is in the thing and we're talking about stuff. And she says, I brought up, the power rankings and she likes it, but it's not her favorite. You know, I think she, at that point she was like, hey, really? I mean, it's okay. You list a bunch of shows, but it's kind of an evergreen thing. I mean, it's not evergreen. I mean, it's a thing. It's like a thing we do and it's every week, but she wasn't getting how I was like, you know, I think this became much more popular than even I expected, especially when we moved it from the Chronicle down to the Reporter. And I had said to her, you know, I get executives and I get stars and I get, seriously, the people who create shows talking to me about how much they love the power rankings.
Yeah.
And she was kind of laughing. And so we get up there. When Mitch Glazer shows up, he, of course, goes to kiss the ring of Janice. I mean, everybody, you have to. I mean, she is the goddess of everything up there. And within 2 seconds, she's like, he says, Tim, I got to tell you, this whole show, the reason I kept doing this show is because of the power rankings. She looked at me and she was like, did you just pay him to say that? And I was like, no. And he's like, and he was like looking at us like we were strange. And then he said, no, we were in the writer's room and we would watch the Arrow. We were up a couple of weeks. We were down. We were still on the list. And I was like, see, this is really true. And at this summer, just this past July at the Television Critics Press Tour, Armando Iannucci, who I love him as one of the great television creators. He did The Thick of It of many things. He did The Thick of It in Britain, and obviously he did Veep here, and he was being Veep won a bunch of awards from TCA, and they were there in attendance. And
he was being feted.
He was being feted,
I believe, is the fancy word for that.
Yeah,
he was being feted
by us.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, on my list of people to talk to, like, you know, I had to talk to Vince Gilligan because I know him from Breaking Bad and blah, blah, blah. But I said, like, you know, I've never met Armando Iannucci face to face, and he's like one of my heroes. And, you know, I'm a cynical person, except for today in his podcast. And,
yes.
I had to, like, say to him, you know, I really love your stuff. So I go to talk to him. We're talking, and he says, we're talking about different shows, and he stops me. He goes, I love the Power Rankings. Seriously, that's what he said.
Oh my
God.
He says,
thank you for all the support in the Power Rankings for Veep. And I was like, oh, damn it. Now I got to still do it. Because my thing is, I'm not trying to whine here. It is a lot of work.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of extra watching. But you have to watch every single episode.
You got to catch up the episodes, yeah.
Wow. It's a ton of stuff. And I'm not saying that I am getting paid to do that. But, you know, I'm trying to take it seriously. And it's, oh boy. It's a lot of work, and so I'm conflicted about when I'm going to bring them back and in what form, which was your original question before I forgot who made Magic City and what the name of the show was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we got there, and it was a good story about how Mitch Glazer—
That story. It is amazing that these famous people are looking at those stupid little arrows that I made in HTML from the 90s.
You did. And because I remember we talked about it, and I was like, we just need an arrow to go up or down or sideways.
Yeah.
Like the show— It was eight of 11 last week, and it's eight this week, so it's sideways arrow.
Yep. And we made it happen. I'm surprised that the Hollywood Reporter hasn't invested like major IT resources into an Uber power ranking chart, but they haven't. So
I will say that early on, when they first saw it, and of course I didn't tell them about it because they didn't make it. We just, it just sort of appeared.
Just pasted it in, yeah.
One day, and they were like, wow, this is an interesting thing. And within the first couple of weeks of it being up, I had an email saying, we need to turn this into a radio show.
Wow.
Yeah. They're like, we want to promote the heck out of this on down in LA.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, you figure out how you're going to do that and then get me involved.
I'm just saying it would make a great segment for this podcast if we had some power rankings.
There's your transition right there to radio, because this is radio without the listeners.
Without the listeners, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I have to thank you for coining that phrase. I assume you're the one who coined that, because that's how I explain to people what podcasting is now, is I just say, Tim Goodman says it's radio without the listeners, and that's about it. But that your last power rankings was at the end of May. So I don't know.
You have to look that up.
'Tis the season. Yeah.
It was the end of May.
May 27th.
Mm-hmm. In some ways, it's almost stereotypically, I ended that at the end of the broadcast television.
Yeah, the Americans finale was your number one.
Mm-hmm. And we went into a lot of great summer television I just ignored.
Yeah.
Well, but you know why
that is.
You got to take a break.
You got to take a break.
And I'm not going to whine on being lazy. But like at that point, you have to take a vacation. You're trying to take a vacation. You know, a whole bunch of new stuff is coming up, which then you're thinking, okay, oh my God, this is a lot of watching. And then I go down to LA for 3 weeks for the TCAs. And it's impossible to really post and watch. I mean, I watch literally no television down there unless it's something on a disc that I'm watching in my hotel room at 3 a.m. just because I have to review it. So it's really hard to keep it posted. And people like continuity. They're like, okay, yeah, you know, it's kind of cool when a show is number one week and then it's number two. And then I tune back in and you don't post for another 3 weeks. They're kind of annoyed by that.
Right. I know it's a big commitment to, it's like when we said we would do this, it's like, we're going to do it every week. It's like, well, now we got to do it every week.
And we have been. So
absolutely.
What you're asking is me to do something else.
Well, or you could view it as a twofer, because you'll get the power rankings on the site and you'll also get some material for the podcast. that's my sales pitch
there. I like your way to
but
think.
I do like enjoy it, and we did have a listener ask about it, so
we answered that for the listener. Yep. And you know what, it's one of those things that I'm conflicted right. about, because I do like it when it's up and running. It is popular, and it is kind of a joke though, right? I mean, you and I know that I base this off of fantasy baseball power rankings.
Oh yeah, but that's the beauty of it is I think, okay, here's my theory about the power rankings. I absolve you from not doing them now, because you go into the summer, you take the break, you got to watch all the pilots, and now you're just kind of coming out of that cloud of having to review everything.
Ugh.
And so, like, it's only now that you could even consider whether you want to do this again. But what I like about the power rankings is the fact is that the experience of being a TV viewer is episode to episode. It's not you watch the premieres and then you go away. And so what you're doing, and this is why I think the people in the writers' rooms especially really like it, is it's your way to kind of say how different shows are doing week to week without, like, the Alan Sepinwall, and I love Alan Sepinwall, but the I'm reviewing every episode kind of thing. You don't have to do that. Instead, you check in, and then the power rankings is like your it's like your column of, like, what happened last week in the good shows. But
right.
but you know, you only have to write like a sentence or two about each of them, and I like that, because that is the cycle of TV viewing, is you watch every week and there's a new one every week, and just a one shot review doesn't capture that. So that's why I think people like the power rankings.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I mean, right? I mean,
not that I'm trying to talk you into it. I'm just saying people like them because this is all about positivity.
No, it is. There is a reason, I guess. Well, there is a reason to have it. Yeah, I think. Yeah,
I can see why they like it anyway. I can also see how much work it is, but I can see why they like it.
Well, I will. I did my last because there, and I know that you trigger my memory about certain things, but the executive producers and creators of Orphan Black also like it. And at when I was down at Austin at the Austin Television Festival. They were down there, and we were having a party and talking with people. It was just so much fun, hanging out, drinking beers in the hot Austin night, and joking about the power rankings, and saying I was kind of joking about how I created it based on the fantasy baseball,
yeah.
And that the ultimate joke about the power rankings, and this kind of, you know, this is the gist of it. Is that it's really based on nothing.
It's totally arbitrary.
Right. And, yeah. And I link to that, and I tell people that there's a whole statistical analysis, and if you want to learn how we get to these results, click on this. And if you click on it, it's basically a column from me saying, you know what? It's just me.
It's just
me.
I made it up, yeah.
I made it up, and however I feel that week, it's just me. There is no, like, analysis. There is no number crunching or statistics. There's none of that. And the guys from Orphan Black, they said that's their funniest part. The funniest part is to click on that and know that he's just making it up.
Yep.
But pretending
like it's scientific. Yep.
That it's scientific. And so that I kind of thought that was kind of cool. And so maybe I should go back to do that.
You can define what it is too. So, you know, you could also figure out what kind of constraints you want to put on yourself in terms of doing 11, doing something different,
yeah,
doing it every week, every other week,
yeah,
whatever.
Well, if you follow it, it starts at 11, and it's really hard to crack that because there's, you know, 20 plus great shows.
Right.
And then it starts to dwindle, and I can still do 11. And then at some point I do what I call the great 8.
Yeah.
And that's when, because now we're kind of dwindling. And then when I can't really fill the 8, or I've got a lot of people in there, or I've got a show or two that shouldn't be in there, then I kind of give it up. But I will say that I'm kind of indicting the concept of power rankings, because I did say that to Janice and to everybody else that, like, okay, I did it as a little bit of a joke. It's still fun to read, like you just said. It's just like, keep it up every week. The funny part about it is something that is kind of based on a joke and it's just meant to be fun turned very serious when I went to the THR, because I think people really want to know that they're one rather than six,
yeah.
Or they want to know if they were five last week. Why are they 11 now? That's a pretty big drop. And in my heart of hearts, I'm like, yeah, you know, I just kind of did it on the fly. But it really impacts how they view it, and they take it really seriously. So that's a little bit daunting too. It's funny to me. I think there's a part of me that makes that thinks that's really funny. But then I also think, okay, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be so snarky about this because people are taking it seriously.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe you've talked me into it, Jason. Maybe we'll bring it back
all
soon.
Right. It can be. I totally see that the weight of the Hollywood Reporter saying you're the number five show is different than the, you know, the San Francisco Chronicle blog,
right,
that says,
right,
it.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Damn you! You've brought me back into it with your positivity.
It's just like that movie that's like The Sopranos, except set in the 70s. I think it was on Stars. I don't know the name.
Beach.
Yeah,
it was
on the beach. I'm sure.
I do know that there was a lot of tuxedos and a mob, and then it was kind of like a
Tuxedo
Mad
Squad,
Men.
Right?
Yeah. That's what I was trying to say. Mad Men and Sopranos on the beach.
Mad Men. Ah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's
we
Magic
now
City.
Know it's Magic City.
Sure, absolutely.
Jeez, like
you'd said that.
Yeah. By the way, there's sex in it. A lot of nudity. So if people want
to so,
go rent it. They had two full seasons.
Magic City. Well, Tim, it's been a pleasure, as always.
It's been positive.
If people want to, it has been positive. I hope people have enjoyed this positivity, this relentless positivity. Mm-hmm. If you want to reach us, again, Twitter is the best way, but there's also a Facebook page. Just search for TV Talk Machine. There are very nice people on there who are fans of the old TV Talk Machine podcast. They may say strange things and make references to things you don't understand. Just don't worry about it. You'll figure it out or you won't, and it won't matter. And you can reach us on Twitter as well, at TVTM. We'll see those tweets. And Tim is at Bastard Machine, and I'm at Jay Snell. And that's it for this week, Tim. I'll see you next week.
Okay, see you then.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.